Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 373, and we're going to continue with Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Moses is warning them against the human nature qualities of being filled and having abundance and plenty and not feeling any needs anymore for God, and then departing from Him. And so he's warning them that there are going to be consequences to that, you see. You're not going to be able to get away with it, even though a lot of people think they do. And many people just do their own thing, and they get rich, and have abundance and all that. And when God is ready, He strikes them, one way or the other. He takes away most everything they have, whether it be through sickness, or collapse, or economic collapse, or whatever it may be. People should not be playing games with God, the owner of all that exists. And that's what He's warning them. Because oftentimes when they would not listen, even though when God punished them, well, the ultimate that God had to, the thing, you know, that He had to finally get through to their heads, the only thing that He could do is literally throw them out of the country by causing other enemies to come and take over whatever they had. And so Moses is warning them, don't ever get to that state of mind. And so he says, He warns them in verse 11, "Beware lest you forget the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I command you this day." And since that day, unfortunately, the people of Israel have forgotten that many times. And to this very day, the majority of Israel have forgotten that, and they don't give God thanks for it. Oh, they know how to complain when things go wrong, and they blame God for it, but they forget Him when things are well. And so he says, you better be careful that when you have abundance, when you have eaten and you have been satisfied and you have multiplied in all of your riches, to begin with, God gives it to you. Everything is multiplied, verse 14. Then your heart be lifted up, pride, you see, self-satisfaction, thinking I've done it, self-exaltation, giving credit to self. That's what happens. Your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. And how many of us have forgotten the Lord our God? How many of us are always in a state of gratitude and thankfulness for everything that He gives us, including problems? You see? They too have a purpose. To purify us, to teach us lessons, to make us understand what is really important in life. And even sickness and disease, as Job would say, shall we thank God enough for only for the good that He gives us and not for the bad? Everything has a purpose. When God allows things or causes things to come upon us which are not pleasant, it's not because He hates us, it's because He is trying to draw our attention to bring us back to our sanity. And so that's a blessing. That's not a curse. You see? To let us just go and do our own thing and be left to our own devices that will bring utter destruction on us, that would not be a blessing. But to spank us now and then, to bring us back to Him, that's a blessing, even though at the moment it seems to be very painful. That's what correction is all about. Whomsoever the Lord loves, He chastens and corrects. So Moses is warning them, this is what's going to happen to you if you behave in that way. If you allow pride, if you exalt your heart, and that's the way the terminology in Hebrew, veram levavcha, in other words, your heart be lifted up. That's what pride is all about. You begin to float. You know, you become airhead. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and dreadful wilderness, wherein were serpents, fiery serpents, and scorpions, and thirsty ground. All these things were in the wilderness, where there was no water. And that's deliberately. That He brought them through that kind of a wilderness when He could have brought them along the coast, you see, where things are much more pleasant. But through all that, He was feeding them, caring for them, protecting them, defending them, you see. And so, regardless of what kind of life we went through, that's the process, to be purified and cleansed and purged so that we may learn to have our mind and heart on God at all times. When things are good and when things are bad, to remember that even when things are very well every breath that we draw depends on Him. And if He decides to take it away, we'll be gone, regardless of how much money we have. So a lot of rich people there would spend everything they have in order to stay alive one more moment. When they are sick, when they have all kinds of diseases and evil things like that, they realize, oh, that is meaningless. There's nothing more precious than life itself. And God gave it, and God can take it anytime He wants. So we should never be haughty and arrogant just because we are successful and have abundance and plenty and all that. Those are the times that we should be the most careful. Because by nature, when we are hungry, when we are in trouble, that when we call on God, then that's not a problem. But when we are full and satisfied and have plenty, that's when we become complacent and we forget God. And we direct our attention to our own riches that we have produced by our own, we think, you know, smartness. And it does not work like that. So he's warning them. Don't ever get into that state of mind. Because God brought you through this wilderness that was a very terrible wilderness, and yet he was with you all the time. Who brought you forth water out of the rock or flint. So if you have no water, well, God can do anything. You see? And you are totally dependent on him then, and he took care of all of your needs. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might afflict you. That's the reason why he'd done all that, in order to afflict you. Well, does he enjoy afflicting his children? Does any parent enjoy tormenting his children? Obviously not. What was the purpose of it all? He said that he might afflict you, and that he might prove you to do you good at the latter end. And that was the purpose of it. That's what it means. Whomsoever the Lord loves, he chastens and corrects. You see? And we have generations, unfortunately, especially the last 2-3 generations, of children who have not been corrected properly, who have not been afflicted by their parents properly, who have been given everything, and they have no appreciation, they have no gratitude, because their parents spoiled them, ruined them, destroyed them. Made it impossible for them to develop character of gratitude, the traits of thankfulness. You see, that's the worst thing you can do to human beings, give them abundance. We have no capacity to be thankful on our own when we get plenty. You see, we lose the gratitude that generally would be in us if we were treated properly, given, you know, in measure what we need, not over and above and beyond, until we get to the point where we pass the threshold of being able to appreciate. And then it becomes meaningless. It's just like, you know, you go to a table and you have an awful abundance of food there and you eat some of it, and after that, you know, it just goes through your nose. You can't stand it anymore. You see? The last thing you think about is giving thanks and showing gratitude. And that was a major mistake on the part of the parents, to give so much. Overabundance. Another thing, the penalty for it. The kids grow up, they have no thankfulness, no gratitude, they couldn't care less about their parents. So our Father who loves us, our God who loves us, is not about to spoil us rotten like that until we become rotten and worthless. And so he said he afflicted you to teach you lessons so that he can do you a lot of good at the latter end. And when people are taught these kind of principles, that it's not good to have too much, to have an easy life. The people that have an easy life, they lose the zest for life, the appreciation of life, and they don't know what to do with themselves, and they get into all kind of mischief, and they lose the meaning of life, and they go all over the place looking for the meaning of life, because they're so deeply into materialism that does not satisfy, you see. And that's a major problem that people have. God does not treat us like that. When he gives us abundance, he also wants us to learn at the same time, and if we do not learn, he's going to teach us, one way or the other, to be always in a state of gratitude and thankfulness, and not pride ourselves, and not, you know, exalt ourselves, and not look down on others, not get to the point where we couldn't care less about people, only about selfishness and selfish gratitude and self-gratification, all that. That's unfortunately what this nation is all about nowadays, and the economy of this world, that's the intent of it. So people can have abundance and plenty and can have a lot of fun and toys and anything, and forget about God. Who needs God? We can do it on our own. Well, he says that's the way God had done it for you, to teach you a character, to teach you a lesson, to teach you traits, to do you a lot of good at your end. So you got to get to a point where you have abundance, but you are fully appreciative of it, and you have gratitude, and you have the right character to treat it with, and you are thankful, and you help others. You see, that's when you can really enjoy abundance and riches without being corrupted by them. And so he says, he'd done all that, all those things to do you good at the latter end. And when people learn this, when parents learn this principle, you see, and they don't just shower their children with abundance until they get to the point where they're not capable of showing gratitude or thankfulness, because that's human nature. And because parents haven't done that, they're paying the penalty. They're sowing, you know, the wild grapes. And they're reaping the results in corrupt children that don't know what to do with themselves. And they go and destroy others too in the process. And so he said, you better be careful not to do that. Not to follow that as an example, but, you know, to be just grateful and thankful for all the trials that God brings on you, because they are there to teach you what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is not, what is best and what is not. And so this is what he'd done throughout the wilderness. Teach them the spirit of gratitude and thankfulness and appreciation and obedience and the love of God and thankfulness. And so that's what he's saying here. He'd done all that, that he might afflict you and that he might prove you to do you good at your latter end. And you say in your heart, in other words, he's warning them, don't do that. And you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. In this country we say, why, Yankee ingenuity. You see, in other countries they say whatever they say there. But all in the same vein. Self-exaltation, pride, giving credit to self. And that's the reason why you have those economic trends up and down all the time, you see, and famines and disasters, natural disasters and all that. Well, there are areas where there's too much pride there and there's self-exaltation and all that. Well, that's the way God gets their attention. And he said so. A lot of people don't understand that. They think, well, it's just nature. Mother Nature is doing that. No, Mother Nature, there's no such a thing as Mother Nature. That's a fable, a fairy tale. God is in absolute control of everything. And all those things are coming because of our behavior and conduct. And that's how God gets our attention. And when people don't learn that, they're going to continue to repeat those mistakes. You see, as Santayana said, the people who do not learn from their mistakes, you see, that's the way history works, are doomed to repeat it. And that's the way it happens. So he says, don't ever get to that attitude of arrogance, my power, my Yankee ingenuity, or my, you know, the Jews say, well, the Jewish mind, you know, the Jewish intelligence and things like that. And every nation have got their own cliche that they use to give credit to itself. You know, we're proud people, they say. You know, we're proud in ourselves, in our economy, and this and that, and they look to men for solutions. Moses is warning every single one of us, individually and collectively, don't ever get into that state of mind, because you're signing your death warrant, your destruction, by doing that. That's a law. That's a law of God. You see? That's a part of the Torah. Nobody can go against it. No matter how rich they get, God makes sure that they lose it all, one way or the other. You see? Nobody's going to get away with it. Even though temporarily they think, you know, that they are getting away with it. Just a matter of time. And so he says, don't ever get into that state of mind of saying, my power and my might and my hand has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember, and that's something we should do at all times, remember the eternal, your Elohim. You see, the one that gives you life and is your deity and the source of all things. For it is He that gives you power to get wealth. So you cannot say, my power, when that power was given to you to begin with and can be taken away from you any time. And it's happening all the time. And God takes that power away from us. when there is iniquity in our hearts or in our family. And at times, he's not going to take it directly from us. He's going to take it from our children. So he takes their life. And we wonder, why did Johnny die? God is trying to get our attention because of our conduct and behavior and our attitude and our arrogance and our selfishness and lack of gratitude. You see, he that gives can take. And he that takes away from us can also give it back if we return to him. And he's going to teach the entirety of the nation of Israel and the whole world these lessons. And they're going to learn it, unfortunately, the hard way in the coming tribulation and the day of the Lord. And so, it says, don't ever do that, but you should remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. You don't get it on your own. Somebody has to give it to you. You see? We didn't create ourselves. We didn't create trees and plants and vegetables. We didn't create mountains and silver and gold and things like that. All that was there given to us on a silver platter by God. And he can take it away any time when we are selfish, you know, and void of gratitude and despise him, as most people unfortunately do one way or the other. So it says, it is he who gives you power to get wealth. That, why? What's the purpose of it? Why does God give us wealth and power and strength and all that? That he may establish his covenant which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day. There's a purpose for it all. What's the purpose of it? Just to give people abundance and plenty, you know, and give them good time and good life and all that? No. So that they may, show that is, to all nations of the earth, that when you obey this God, you see, we are testimony to it, we are witnesses of that. When you follow his commandments, when you fear him, when you are grateful to him, when you are thankful of him, to him that is, for all things that he gives you, you can have all these things too. And everybody wants it. Nobody wants to be miserable and sickly and in fear and all the problems that we have in this life. So there was a purpose and intent for it. And if the people forget the purpose of it all and just consume it on themselves in a selfish manner and forget God, well, there is no reason for them to exist or to stick around. And God is going to take away from them whatever he gave them. And he had done it several times. And so Moses is warning them and he's telling them to remember the purpose of it all. God made a covenant with the fathers because they have obeyed his voice and commandments and charge and statutes, and they were grateful, they were thankful, they were obedient to him, and they understood the purpose of their choosing. You see, it's not just to have and have and have and have and forget about everything else. There is a purpose when God gives us whatever he does. When he gives us life, there is a purpose for it. We must fulfill that purpose, or else there is no reason for him to keep us alive or to give us whatever blessings we have. And he takes them away when we behave or misbehave, when we depart from him. And so he says, you better be careful. Remember that. And it shall be, in verse 19, it said, if you shall forget the Eternal, your God, and walk after other gods, be it money, be it things, be it idols that you look to for caring for your needs, which they can't to begin with, because it comes from God and not from this silly things that people create with their own hands, thinking, well, this is the God of war, and this is the God of peace, and this is the God of fertility, and this is a God of crops, and you know, and I'm going to worship them, you see. Well, he says, if you do that, well, the real God is going to take it all from you. And so he says, if you forget the Eternal, your God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I forewarn you this day that you shall surely perish. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling his own people when he came down in the flesh. The very God who is speaking now through Moses. He says, unless you all repent of being selfish, greedy, covetous, destructive, void of gratitude, unwilling to thank God, to obey God, to walk in his path and commandments, his statutes and judgments, his testimonies. He says, unless you repent of all that kind of behavior, all of you are going to die. I have no use for you. I own the whole thing. You see? And God doesn't play games with us. He doesn't spoil us. rotten. He doesn't give us abundance, you see, when we are not capable of appreciating the little bit that He gives us. And if we behave in that manner, God takes it away from us. Finally, after all the things that He takes away from us, He takes our own life. And that's what He said, unless you remember the law of Moses, and this is what we are reading here, this is what God said, this is what Jesus Christ said, unless you repent, you shall all like perish. Unless you remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all of Israel, with all the statutes and judgments and everything that went with it, you see, yeah, He said, I'm going to bring utter destruction on all of you. You shall all perish. Because God is not in the business of raising brats. Selfish brats. You see? And the majority of human beings on the face of the earth, they are in that category, unfortunately. And God says, you're all going to perish. And so now and then, God brings this kind of destruction on nations, on peoples, on His own people, on individuals and collective people and nations and all that. And ultimately, and the tribulation, as we read in the prophets, several places, the fury of God is going to be poured upon the, you know, the planet, the whole earth, because all turn into that kind of conduct of rebellion, of hatred, of malice, of darkness, of war and bloodshed, of covetousness, you see, of rebellion against God, contempt for Him. They believe in evolution, they believe in this, and they believe in that, and all kind of lies and deceptions and mixture in truth and error, that God is going to pour His fury upon the face of the whole earth, and the only people who are going to be left when that is all over are going to be about 10% of them. That means you're looking forward, and tragically so, because people are not going to listen to the destruction of planet Earth, that is 90% of it. And only 10% will be left alive. And God is going to work with them. And even then, they're going to be put through the grinder. Unless they learn the lesson and walk with God and repent and turn away, He's going to punish them. As we read after the day of the Lord, when He comes down, His feet shall descend on the Mount of Olives. He's going to tell all nations of the earth, unless you come and worship me here in this mountain and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and for that matter, the whole law, I'm not going to give you rain. What are you going to do? You see, you have no rain, no water. What do? You die. Because most of us are made of water. You see, without water we cannot live. And God says, that's the way I'm going to deal with you, unless, you know, until you behave yourself. And you realize who is the boss. And you come and you worship me and you acknowledge me and you show gratitude for what I give you, then I will heal you and bless you abundantly. And the lesson has always been like that from the beginning until the end. And yet people, by nature, carnal, as Paul said, the carnal mind, you know, the natural mind is an enemy. By nature, it's an enemy of God. Why? It doesn't like anybody telling what to do. You see little children, as soon as they discover they are able to do things, they don't want their parents to tell them what to do. And you have to fight with them all the time. And because the parent is bigger, you know, he gets the upper hand, whacking the kid. Now and then, showing, you know, the kid who is boss. You see, but the kid on his own free will is not going to do it. So unfortunately, humanity functions just the same. And God is going to have to whack the whole earth. And 90% of them are going to be put to death in so many ways. And the few that are left over, they're not going to be playing games as they did before that, but apparently some are still going to be playing games. And so He gives us the example in Zechariah 14. He said, if Egypt does not come to worship Him, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have the plagues upon them. No rain, and then sickness and disease, until they come crawling. And the whole earth is going to come crawling before God and bow the knee and acknowledge that He is the supreme ruler of their lives. That is the one that will come to this earth. And then, when the whole earth is prepared and ready and obedient, you see, no more rebels. That's when the Father descends with heavenly Jerusalem on planet Earth in the same location where Jerusalem is, and the new Jerusalem that is going to be reconstructed in the future, in the near future, you see. And so heaven is going to be on Earth, and that's what God promised us, heaven on Earth, not going up to heaven, but heaven coming to Earth. People have been told a lot of lies and deceptions. And so they're going to have to learn that and and acknowledge the lies and the deceptions that are in them. But being carnal, they're an enemy of God. They're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so the only way, finally, they're going to be dealt with is being crushed to pieces and then rebuilt with humbleness and meekness and gratitude and thankfulness and all that. They're not going to be playing games anymore with Big Daddy or Big Brother. Verse 20. Verse 19 again. He says, and it shall be, if you shall forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I forewarn you this day that you shall surely perish. That's a consequence. There's no other way. Verse 20. As the nations that the Eternal makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not hearken or listen unto the voice of the Lord your God. And those nations that were there, they were given an opportunity to turn away and repent. You see, Abraham lived in their midst, and Isaac lived in their midst, and Jacob lived in their midst. And they knew that these were the servants of God. They could have learned from their path and their way, and they refused to. And they got gradually worse and worse and worse. You see, when they got to the point of no return, God says, okay, that's the time to eliminate them, decimate them, bury them, all of them, barring none. You see, that was the verdict for all of them, the death penalty. And everything that they ever owned and had and dreamt for and worked for and fought for, whatever, everything was taken away from them. You see, and they became fertilizer for the future crops of the children of Israel. And God is not playing games with anybody, and so it's going to be with 90% of humanity. They're going to become fertilizer for the future crops, because they're going to be buried in the ground, and they're going to be, you know, disintegrated there by worms. And they'll just become like a pile of manure. God doesn't play games with any one of us. And if we do not learn this lesson, that's what God says. Unless you remember the law of Moses, my servant, I'm going to bring utter destruction on the whole earth. And as it is, because people are not going to learn, 90% of humanity is going to be blotted out from under heaven until the second resurrection, when they're going to be brought back and be taught lessons. You see, and much of the earth is going to be devastated and destroyed, and God is going to have to renew the face of the whole earth, and gradually it's going to become paradise. Chapter 9, that's what Moses is telling them now. Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, you know, the famous Hear, O Israel, you see it in different places. And hear means obey. Mishmat in Hebrew means obedience. You see, and it comes from the word to hear. So the two words, the two meanings are in this word. Hear, O Israel, obey, O Israel. That is, he that has an ear, let him hear. That's what God means, you know, obey. You are to pass over the Jordan this day to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself. That was a verdict of God, because he owns it all. Had it happened, you know, nowadays, you know, the United Nations would have been after God, would have sued him. You see, they would have pronounced him a criminal, a war criminal, things like that. And Moses and everybody else, well, that's human beings. They can do whatever they want. They're not God. God is God. He's the owner. They're not. And so when he, in recent time, when he brought a part of his people, as he said he would, into the land, that was in essence their task. Kick out of that land everybody that is there that has no business being there. They're all squatters in the land of God. And because they were not willing to do it all the way, just like they were not willing to do it in the days of Joshua, God says to them, as you read in Joshua, because you rebelled against me and were not willing to totally get rid of all the inhabitants of the land, now I'm going to preserve them there, some of them at least, and they're going to be a thorn in your flesh. And they are to this very day because of that disobedience. You see, and yet people, you know, their own humanity and their own human, you know, human thinking, things like that, humanism, they think, oh, how horrible, how terrible, how can you do that to people? Well, God is going to do just that. All those people there who are squatters, who are rebellious against God, who defy the will of God because they give it to Israel and none else, they are signing their own death warrant, you see, without even realizing it. And they're going to get a piece of land, ultimately speaking. They may have a little pressure there applied by the world, and they're going to get a little bit more here and there. You see, and they are going to be given actually by God a temporary victory there, at least partially. And then comes the end, and God is going to come down, and He said the war that He declared against Amalek and all the nations there, He's going to finish it, which means utter destruction on all of them. Only very few orphans and widows are going to be left, as we read in Obadiah and other places. And they are going to be given to the children of Israel to teach them how to fear God and to obey God and to submit to His will. So far they are not willing to understand that or comprehend that, even though their own prophet Muhammad made it very plain that this land was given to the children of Israel, none else. And that he believed in the scriptures that were given to Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and the Gospel. Well, they are going to learn a very hard lesson, and only after that happens, when God crushes them, and 90%, more than 90% of them, as a matter of fact, of the children of Amalek and Edom that are there, He's going to leave only a fraction of a percent. You see? Because they are defying God Himself personally. And they're going to have to pay the penalty for it. But anyway, He tells them here, all these nations that are there, your job is to destroy them. And forget about what other nations say about it. Here, Israel, you are to pass over the Jordan this day to go into dispossess nations. You're not the occupier, you're the rightful owner. And people get it all mixed up. Even a lot of Israelis who are totally mixed up because they have no faith in their own word, in their own Bible, and the writings that were given to them, to their, you know, their ancestors, no faith in it. They've got their humanism, and they even call the Israeli, their own brethren, occupiers. And they tell them, you know, get out of this land, give it back to the Arabs. That's how insane people are from the point of view of God. Of course, they don't think that they are, but they too are going to have to pay the penalty for their foolishness. That's why a lot of them, anyway, as it is, are bleeding all the time. They're going to bleed even so much more so, because even 90% of them are going to be decimated. Because that's what God is going to do to His own people, Israel, and to the whole earth, and to those who defy Him personally there about the land, the Arabs, Palestinians. Almost 100% of them are going to be decimated. And so He said, this is where you are coming to a nation, to a land, and you're going to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself. Cities great and fortified up to heaven, that is, high towers and things like that. People great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, there were giants, a lot of giants there, whom you know, and of whom you have heard say, who can stand before the sons of Anak? You see, that's what 4 years ago, the spies told the people of Israel when they came back. Man, those guys are giants. We cannot fight them. And they forgot God. Nobody's taller than God. And so the people of Israel, oftentimes, unfortunately, forgot that. In verse 3, we read, know therefore this day that the Eternal, your Elohim, your God, is He who goes over before you as a devouring fire. He will destroy them. Even though He used them, you see, His army, to destroy the people, He's the one initiating it. So you can never blame people for that. God is the one who owns everything, who owns life, who owns property, who owns the universe, and He can do with it whatever He wants. And He's not capricious, and He's not malicious. You see, He does it all based on either righteousness or unrighteousness of people. Nobody has a lease for life. God gives it to us, God takes it away from us. And so He says, He's the one who's going to do it. He's going to destroy them, and He will bring them down before you. So shall you drive them out and make them to perish quickly. So, many of them just fled the land rather than be destroyed. They knew that that was a verdict for them, so they went to other countries. And they were the ones that were spared. Those who remained behind, most of them were devastated and destroyed. And some were left behind because Israel was not willing to do their job all the way. You see, that's the concept of the holy war, utter destruction. When the surgeon goes after the cancer, he goes for utter destruction. You don't play games with it. You don't leave anything behind, and so those poor little cells. You see? And that's the only way you deal with the disease. And those people became cancer, and they needed to be destroyed. Now, unless we understand it from God's point of view, we're not going to understand these kind of things. And a lot of Jews, even, you know, a lot of rabbis have a difficulty with many of these things because they're so insane. They're blind, and they cannot see spiritual anymore, and they don't understand. They just use their perverted, warped, demented humanism, you see, and their concepts, and they point the finger at God, and they judge Him, and they too join the chorus of others, well, that old, harsh monster, you know, the God of the Old Testament, they think He's the Father. That's total insanity. Well, God is going to teach everyone a lesson on an individual basis or collective basis until they all learn to bow the knees before Him and to know that He is God and He is the owner of heaven and earth. And unless they obey Him and serve Him and worship Him in truth and in spirit and obey all the laws that He gave them through Moses, they are all going to perish. You see? Nobody's a pet favorite with God. And so He said, He will bring them down before you, so shall you drive them out and make them to perish quickly, as the Lord has spoken unto you. On the other hand, you know, if you do not behave yourself, you will perish. God is not a respecter of persons. Speak not you in your heart, after that the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, saying, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. You see? He said, don't be ever arrogant to think that that's the reason why God gave it to you. And that's unfortunately how many people think. You know, well, we are God's people, we're good people, those are bad people, God went after them. He says, don't ever talk like that. That's arrogance. He said, don't say, for my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, whereas for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out from before you. And that's been the same thing for all the nations where Israel went to throughout their history, you see, as they came to this land also, the Americas or any other country, there were other people there before them, and God drove them out and subjugated them and gave the land to His people, whether people like it or not, or like to admit it or not, or they hate this concept or these teachings or not, it's neither here nor there. God owns heavens and earth. He determines to whom He gives it, and anyone who defies Him is going to destroy. That's all. Simple as that. He doesn't play games. He doesn't live by the principles of man. Until people learn to understand that and to abide by that, they're going to have to pay the penalty for it. And so it says it is because of their wickedness, the wickedness of these nations. What is wickedness? When you transgress the law of God. And those people were fornicators, idol worshippers, bestialists, homosexuals, lesbians, idol worshippers. You see? Taking advantage of one another, socially corrupt, morally corrupt, in everything, in every way corrupt. And God says people like that are going to be utterly destroyed. And they can say whatever they want to say. They are not the boss. We're not the givers of life. God is. And so until people learn that lesson, they're going to have to pay the penalty for it. And they will. And so He says, He's the one that is that He does it. He drives them out from before you. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. And He repeats that statement again so that we'd never get an arrogant attitude. And just like a lot of people that came to this country and then they began to be proud and haughty and arrogant. And so, well, we're Christian people, Christian nation, you know, God. We're the white race, the superior race, and all of you outsiders, you know, minorities, or whatever it may be, you get out of here. God gave it to us. You see? Well, that's haughtiness and that's arrogance, and God is going to go after every single individual like that until they learn their lesson. You see? God does not change. What He had done in the past, He's going to do again today, and that's exactly what's going to happen to this nation too. 90% of the people of this land are going to be wiped out from under heaven. 10% left. Because that's going to be across the board all around the earth, not only here, you see. And then the remnant of the children of Israel that are in this land are going to be brought back to their land. The old land, Israel. This is where they came from. This is where they're going back to. Of course, by then, there aren't going to be as many as there are today. But God says after that, when they learn to behave themselves and obey God, He's going to multiply them. And before you know it, there would be just as many as there were before that. You would never know that they were diminished. And He made it several times, this statement, in throughout the prophets. In verse 5, He says, not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God has driven them out from before you. Why? That He may establish the word which the Eternal swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. What was the purpose of that covenant? To be a nation of royal priesthood, a light to the world, to bring all the nations of the earth to the ways of God. That was the intent and the purpose for Israel. They have never learned that. But they are going to. All of Israel shall be saved, as Apostle Paul mentioned when he spoke to the Romans, chapter 9, 10, 11. He goes through this history of Israel. Of course, the world, you know, has forgotten that. And to begin with, the majority of Israel do not even know that they are. As a matter of fact, even the majority of the Jews do not know who they are, because many of them have lost their identity. You see, they went underground, they forsook their religion, and they integrated with other religions and things like that, and they don't even know who they are today. But God knows. God knows, and He's going to bring all of them back, that is a remnant of them, 10% of them, to the land of Israel, and each one of them is going to be in his own territory, and representatives of them are going to be in Jerusalem, and they will be the teachers of humanity. You see? That's what the Church of God is all about. The body of witnesses, and what God begins, you know, when He began that work through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, He's going to finish it. So all those insane people out there, spiritually insane, ignorant, blind, deceived, that think, well, God forsook Israel, rejected Israel. You see, that's all they are. They don't understand the whole plan of God. No, God is going to bring them back, and He's going to make them do the work that He began in them. You see? And they're going to say, yes, sir, at that time. As Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to return to you until you're ready to say, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. And He's going to make them say that and do that. You see? No matter what it takes. Unfortunately, they're going to do it the hard way instead of the easy way. And so I said, you are here there for the covenant. And the covenant that He made is that in Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And they cannot be blessed if Israel is not willing to do their job. And so God is going to make them do their job. He's not going to give up on them. He's not going to go somewhere else, as the false church has taught all these 2,000 years. And He said, verse 6, know therefore that it is not for your righteousness. Even the third time He's repeating it. How many times do you need to be told that before you understand it? Well, Israel apparently, no matter how many times they were told, they still forget it. I said, it's not for your righteousness. Don't ever be arrogant that the Lord your God gives you this good land to possess it, for you are a stiff-necked people. You see? You'll be the last kind of people that God is going to give it to you because of your conduct and behavior. So don't ever be arrogant and think it's because of your own righteousness. And yet, in any nation of Israel, unfortunately, even though most of them don't know that they're Israel, when you go there, you see that kind of arrogance. You know, we're God's people, we're Christian people, we're good people, we're smart people, Yankee ingenuity, and all kind of terminologies they use in different nations of Israel. Anything but give God the credit. You see? And remember what we really are. We're a stiff-necked people. We want to do our own thing. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's the nature that we have. That's an Israelite. He says, remember, forget you not, how you did make the Lord your God wroth in the wilderness from the day that you did go forth out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Eternal. This is what Israel was all about and has been to this day, unfortunately, even though many of them think they are righteous. And of course, there are gradations of evil among them and righteousness. It's not across the board, every single person like that. But generally, the majority of Israel is still rebellious and stiff-necked to this very day. And even when they are the people of God, they still have a lot of problems. Even when they have the Holy Spirit, we still have a lot of problems. You see, there's still that spirit of independence in us. We're not willing to submit to the will of God. We're not talking about being a government of men, human beings. We're talking about God Himself, His law, His nature, His character. To bring into subjection, as we read, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, I believe, bring to subjection every thought, you see, and to subjections to Jesus Christ, every feeling, every emotion, everything. How many of us are there? You see, we by nature want to do our own thing. We're stiff-necked people by nature. And he says, you made God wrath in the wilderness from the day that you came, and you've been rebellious. Moses never complimented Israel, because they don't deserve it. And he would not compliment Israel throughout the past history, had he been alive all this time. He would have told them exactly the same to this very day, including to the people of God. An awful lot of rebellion in our midst. And the worst kind of it is when we despise and have contempt for the law of God, the law of Moses. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.